अखंडम सच्चिदानंदम अवामनसगोचरम आत्मानं अखिलाधारम आश्रये दृष्टसिद्धये अर्थचोपिद्वयानंदान अतीतद्वैतभानतः गुरुनाराज्य वेदांत सारं वक्षे यथामति.
Verse 49, page 35 in your book, and what page is it in the page 12 in the handout?
Well, 11.
12 for transliteration, 11 for the census. Okay. Vana vriksha.
Vana vriksha.
Tet avachinna.
Tet avachinna.
Akashayor.
Akashayor.
Jalashaya.
Jalashaya.
Jala.
Jala.
Tet gata. Pratibimba.
Pratibimba.
Akashayor.
Akashayor.
Va.
Va.
Adhara.
Adhara.
Bhuta.
Bhuta.
Anipahita.
Anipahita.
Akashavat.
Akashavat.
Anayor.
Anayor.
Ajnana.
Ajnana.
Tad Upahita.
Chaitanya
Yo, Chaitanya Yor,
Chaitanya Yor,
Adhara Bhutam,
Adhara Bhutam,
Yad Anupahitam,
Yad Anupahitam,
Chaitanyam,
Chaitanyam,
Tat,
Tat,
Turiyam, Turiyam,
Turiyam,
It's Yujyate,
It's
Yujyate, Shantam,
Shantam,
Shivam,
Shivam,
Advaitam, Chaturtam,
Manyate,
Saatma, Savignyaya, Mandukya Upanishad, verse 7. Then Ityadi Shrute. So Sandhi. I know. You have to take it in chunks. Vana. Okay, here's the Sandhi. Vana, vriksha, tat, avachinna, akasha yoho. Rekha is the sort of akasha yoho. Jala ashya, jala ashya, jala ashya. Jala, tat, gata, pratibimba, Akasha Yoho. Va Adhara Bhuta Anupahita Akasha Vat Anayoho Ajnana Tat Upahita Chaitanya Yoho Adhara Bhutam Yet Anupahita Anupahitam. So Yet Anupahitam Chaitanyam Tat Turiyam Iti Uchyate. See that? Iti Uchyate. Tat Turiyam Iti Uchyate. Shantam Shivam Advaitam Chaturtam Manyate. Saha Atma Saha Vignayaha. Mandukya Upanishad 7, verse 7. Iti Adi Shrutehe. Okay. No. Let me give an introduction to this. In the Mandukya Upanishad, the Mandukya Upanishad is a unfoldment of the meaning of the word Om. A-U-M, silence. The silence is important. The A-U-M silence. Okay. The A is representative of the waking state that we call Virat from the Sameshti, Virat, and Vishwa from the Vyeshti. So these terms are important, so I want you to remember these terms. Sameshti is the aggregate, the total. Vyeshti is the individual. So if I look at, if I break Om down into its three components, A, U, M, because the O is made of A plus U, and then M, right? So that's Om. So A, U, A, U, M, that's three, and then silence, four. Okay? So now the A is representative of Virat and Vishwa. Virat is the Sameshti Stula Sharira. The Sameshti Stula Sharira. The aggregate physical body. The whole Maya Upadhi from the Stula standpoint, we call that Virat. Vishwa is the Vyeshti Stula Sharira, the individual Jiva from the standpoint of the Stula Sharira, the physical body. So the Vyeshti Stula Sharira is called Vishwa. So the A of Om stands for Virat, the Sameshti, and for the Vyeshti, Vishwa, right? That's the name. That's the name of Ishwara and the name of the Jiva. The name of Ishwara from the Stula Sharira is Virat. The name of the Jiva from the standpoint of the Stula Sharira, the physical body, is Vishwa. So these are terms you need to embody. Then the U stands for the Sukshma. The Sukshma Sharira, the Sameshti Sukshma Sharira, the aggregate or the collective, the whole, the total Sukshma Sharira is what we call Hiranyagarbha. Okay? Sukshma Sharira means subtle body. For the Jiva, the name of the Jiva from the standpoint of the Sukshma Sharira is Tejasa. So Hiranyagarbha, Sameshti, Sukshma Sharira, Tejasa, Vyeshti, Sukshma Sharira. That's the U. Okay. The Makara, A-U-M, is the Kavana Sharira. So the Sameshti Kavana Sharira is just Ishwara. It's the Maya. Just the Maya under Ishwara's control. The Vyeshti is Prajna. The Vyeshti Kavana Sharira is called Prajna. So now, this is the first part of the analysis of Om. So we've got Virat, Vishwa, for the Stula Sharira. We've got Hiranyagarbha, Tejasa, for the Sukshma Sharira. We have Ishwara, Prajna, for the Kavana Sharira. So that's A-U-M. Then we have the fourth, that is called Turiya. It's the fourth in reference to the other three. The fourth is Brahman. The Turiya. Turiya means T-U-R, long I-Y-A. The Turiya is the fourth. Swamiji will use the example, it's like if you have three quarters, the fourth quarter makes a dollar, right? Mm-hmm. But that dollar is pervasive in all of the three. So just take the silence for now as the fourth, and we'll look at it some more. So if we say A-U-M silence, that silence is called the fourth, and that is the Turiya, which will be Brahman. Okay? It's the fourth, as we'll see, only in reference to the other three. A-U-M, the fourth is only in reference to the other three. It's not that there really is a fourth. Okay? You're looking at me quizzically. Kiki.
Well, I'm not sure what that means. It's only, you mean it only exists in reference to the other three?
Well, why would we call Brahman the fourth when actually there is only Brahman?
Mm-hmm.
How can we call Brahman the fourth? Because if we say silence, that's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
But upon unfoldment, you realize that really Brahman is the self of all of them. Okay.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What does the word Tavita mean anything, or is it only?
It means fourth.
Oh, it means
fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
The fourth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm. So now what we're going to do is analyze what is actually the Turiya, okay, the fourth, okay? Ready? Vana means forest. We'll just look at the words first. Vana is forest. Vriksha is tree. So vana, vriksha, these are also words come again and again because they're a drishtanta. Drishtanta means an illustration. So these, you know, like wave, ocean, tree, forest, you know, rope, snake, these are all drishtantas. So vana, vriksha, these two words, vana, forest, vriksha, tree, you need to know. Vana, vriksha. Tad means that. The word avachinna means, you know, encased in or enclosed. It's enclosed by the, contained in or enclosed by the forest and enclosed by the tree. So we'll look at these two, how avachinna is used in context. Akasha means space, okay? And akasha yoho is in the dual.
Mm-hmm.
So of the akashas, of the two akashas, which are in the, let's go like this, the vana, the forest and the tree, the vana and the vriksha, okay, the forest and the tree, and the akashas, which are enclosed by them. It's one compound, vana, vriksha, the forest and the tree, and the spaces, the two spaces, that are conditioned or enclosed by the tree. Like we would say, this is tree space, right? So the tree is taking up this room, this amount of space. So we say it's tree space. So the space is as though contained or enclosed by that tree, not really, but it appears. We say this tree is taking up this much space.
And there's spaces.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the tree is containing this space, whereas the forest is containing a bigger space, seemingly. So we say tree space and forest space. So it says there's the tree, there's the vana, there's the forest, and the vriksha, and the akashas, which are enclosed by them. The ted would become tayoho if we were to break down the compound. So the forest and the vana and the vriksha and the akashas, which are avachinna, enclosed by them. That's one example. The next one is jalashya. Jalashya means a reservoir of water. Jalashya. And jala is a drop of water. So there's another drishtanta.
Mm.
So you need jalashya and jala in your vocabulary. The reservoir, jalashya, and the jala and the drop of water. So jala, jalashya. It's likened to vana and vriksha. Now instead of vana and vriksha, which enclose the space, we're going to use jalashya and jala. Then Ted gets a pratibimba akasha yoho, and the two akashas, the yoho, the two akashas, which are whose reflection, pratibimba means reflection, the space, the two spaces, whose reflection Ted gets obtains in them. You see the reflection in them, right? Ted Geta means that has gone into them. The reflection that is obtaining there in them. If I have a drop of water, and I look at that drop of water, I can see the space reflected in the drop of water. So the space is as though in there.
Contained.
Yeah.
Contained rather than obtained. Contained in them?
Yeah, sometimes we say obtaining in it, but the drop of water, we look in there, there is a reflection in that drop of water. It's obtaining there. Then you have the big reservoir, and you look into that, and there you see abiding there, that reflection. Okay? That's the Tadgata. It's gone into it. Literally, it has gone into that. So the key word here is Pratibimba. We've got two important words, Avachinna and Pratibimba.
Pratibimba.
So two words, Avachinna and Pratibimba. Avachinna means it's abiding in that. Pratibimba means it's reflected. Like the space in the tree, the space in the forest, the consciousness in the mind. Okay? Like what if I were to say that the mind is full of consciousness? That's avachinna. What if I say the mind reflects consciousness? That's Pratibimba. There's the reflection of consciousness in the mind, Pratibimba. Mm. There's consciousness obtained in the mind. Right? That's avachinna. So we use these two examples. So like for instance, in the clay pot example, that's avachinna. Right, the pot is full of clay. It's nothing but clay. Right? Rope snake. You know, what maybe water bucket. It's reflecting. Also we say pot space. That's avachinna. Sun reflecting in water is Pratibimba. So the two words, avachinna, Pratibimba. Two ways of helping you as a student differentiate consciousness from Atma from Anatma. Two different ways, and we kind of need both of them, because you have to understand that there's nothing but consciousness, you know, and that also that, like in the clay pot, you understand all that's there is clay. You have to understand in this universe, all that is here is consciousness. There's nothing else. But you also need to understand that the consciousness doesn't go through any modification to become the world. And so there you use the Pratibimba, right? Consciousness is reflected in the mind. It doesn't itself go through any type of modification, right? But the mind is nothing but consciousness. So you have to deal with both in order to understand the Maya and Mithya, Satya and Mithya. Okay, so Vana Vriksha Ted Avachinna Akasha Yoho Jalashya Jala Ted Gata Pratibimba Akasha Yoho Va. Va means or. Okay? So either one of these examples is what we're going to be looking at. The Adhara means the basis, the substratum, the reality of them, the Adhara. Bhuta, that which is. So we've got a compound here. Adhara, Bhuta, Anupahita, Akashavat. Like the Akasha, like the space, which is Anupahita. Upahita means conditioned by. Past passive participle. Anupahita means unconditioned. Upahita, like if I say, Maya Upahita Chaitanya, consciousness conditioned by Maya. Ajnana Upahita Chaitanya, consciousness conditioned by the Ajnana. Right? So Upahita conditioned by. Anupahita, not conditioned by. So, because the un negates it. So, Vad, like this Akasha, like this space, which is not conditioned, which is unconditioned. Like the unconditioned space, Anupahita Akasha, which is Buddha, this which is the Adhara, the basis, the truth of, the substratum of. Okay, so here's your main sentence, the main clause. Like the unconditioned space, which is the Adhara, the basis of, the substratum of what? Now I take that first compound. I would read it like this. Of the tree, of the forest and the tree, and the space of the forest and the tree and the space which is conditioned by each one of them. Okay. By the forest and the tree and the space which is conditioned by the forest and the space which is conditioned by the tree. That's why you have that dual. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, like the space which is like the reservoir and the drop of water, and the space which is conditioned by the reservoir and the space that is conditioned by the drop of water. So the whole thing says, like the unconditioned space, which is the substrate reality, the adhara, of the forest and tree and the space and the forest and the tree and the reservoir and the water, reservoir and the drop of water, etc., and the space that's reflected or abiding in them. Everybody see so far?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to read this in Sanskrit and you just follow it, okay? From the Vana. See if you can get every word. Make a little check if there's a word that you don't know here as we go through it. Vana vriksha tad avachina akasha yoho. Jalashya jala tad gata pratibimba akasha yoho. Va adara bhuta anupahita akashavat. Any words? Everybody have all the words?
What does bhuta refer to here?
Is. In the Kanga, just is. Yeah, it's nature. It just is. The unconditioned, the unconditioned space, which is the adara.
Mm.
And but means like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
Are the words all clear? So let's go to the next part then. Anayoho. Anayor. Okay. Anayor. So anayoho. Ajnana. Tad. Upahita. Chaitanya yoho. Adhara bhutam. Yad anupahita chaitanyam. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So let's read that. Go back to anayoho. Of these two, anayoho, genitive dual, ajnana, ignorance, ajnana, tad upahita chaitanya yoho. Ignorance and the consciousness conditioned by that, ajnana tad upahita chaitanya yoho. Ignorance and the consciousness conditioned by that, adhara bhutam, that which is the adhara, the substratum, the basis, yet an upahita chaitanyam, the unconditioned consciousness, which is the adhara, the yad, adhara bhutam, yad anupahita chaitanyam, the unconditioned, anupahita chaitanyam, the unconditioned consciousness, which is the basis of ajnana tad upahita chaitanya yoho, of the ajnana and the consciousness, which is conditioned by that.
Uh-oh, you got to do that again, please. Mm-hmm. I'm lost. The unconditioned consciousness.
Okay. Anupahita chaitanyam. The anupahita chaitanyam. The unconditioned consciousness. Yes, which? The unconditioned consciousness, which is the adhara bhutam, which is the adhara, the basis, the substratum, of the ajnanam, the ignorance, and the consciousness, chaitanya, which is conditioned by them, by that.
By the ignorance.
By the ajnanam. The unconditioned consciousness, which is the substrate reality, the adhara, of the ajnana, and the consciousness, which is conditioned by that. And they're talking, the anayoho is referring to prajna and ishvara, the karana sharira. The sameshti ajnana is ishvara. Karana sharira, the sameshti ajnana is ishvara. The vyeshti, so the vyeshti ajnana is prajna. Remember we went virat, vishwa, hiranyagarbha, tajasa, ishvara, prajna. The Ishvara Prajna is just the Ajnana, which is also Maya. When we talk about Ajnana from Ishvara standpoint, we usually call it Maya because there's no Avarana. There's no covering. Right? But, so if we're talking about consciousness, we'll see this in the next verse. If we're talking about consciousness which is conditioned by the Sameshti Ajnanam, we call that Ishvara. The consciousness conditioned by the Vyeshti Ajnanam, that's called prajna. But then the consciousness itself, which is the truth of both of them, is turiya, turiya. So he says, the chaitanya which is anupihita, unconditioned, tat turiyam iti uchate, that is called turiya.
Carol, I thought that for samashti, for you know, the total, for Ishvara, that there is no ignorance. So why do we say
Ajnanam? We have to, the Sameshti Ajnanam from the standpoint of the whole only has Vikshepa, it doesn't have Avarna.
But that Vikshepa is the ignorance that is being referred to then.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have to, usually when we're talking about Ajnanam from the standpoint of Ishvara, it's Maya.
Yeah.
Then that same Ajnanam, that same Maya is Ajnanam for the Jiva because of the Avarna.
But then it has that other characteristic.
Exactly. That's an important differentiation.
Here, the unconditioned refers, unconditioned consciousness.
Pure consciousness.
Pure consciousness.
Not from the standpoint of the upadhi. Unconditioned. Upadhi and upahita come from the same root.
Mm.
Right? So the upadhi, sometimes we call the conditioning adjunct. That's what sometimes we translate upadhi like that, because that's not a good way to translate. So upadhi is called conditioning agent. Upahita is the past passive participle of the same root, upada. Mm-hmm. And it means is conditioned by. Okay? Having that as an upadhi is the idea. So then he gives a quote from the Mandukya Upanishad. Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam, Chaturtam, Manyante. Shantam is that which is shanti, peace. Shivam, auspicious. Advaita, non-dual. Chaturtam, the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Manyate, he considers, the wise person considers that atma. He gives the rest of it in these parents here. Sa atma, sa vigneha. That is atma, that is to be known. Right. He considers that Atma, which is to be known, that Atma that is to be known, he considers as the fourth, as Shivam, auspicious, non-dual, advaitam, shantam, free from any mama, any agitation. Ityadi shrutehe. Let's read through the translation and see if you can see the translation in the Sanskrit. Okay? Like the unlimited akasha, what he's using for unlimited akasha is unupahita akashavat.
Mm-hmm.
Really just means unconditioned. There's not, the word unlimited isn't really there, but that's what he's using. Like the unlimited akasha, which is the substratum, The substratum is adhara bhutam, okay? Which is the adhara. Now, of the akasha enclosed by the forest and the trees, that's vana vriksha tad avachina akasha yoho. That really says of the forest and the trees and the space which is conditioned by them. So it's not plural in his translation. There's forest, there's tree, see forest and tree, and then you see that tad. So it's going to be like this, the forest and the trees and the akasha, which is enclosed, tad by them. So there's three things. You've got the forest, you've got the trees, and then you've got the space that is enclosed by the forest. Mm-hmm. You've got Ishwara, you've got Prajna, right? You've got the Ajnanam, the Sameshi Ajnanam, the Vyeshi Ajnanam, and then the Chaitanya, which is also enclosed by those two. Right. Turiya is the Chaitanya, which is not enclosed, which is not seen from the standpoint of the Upadhi. And here, the unlimited Akasha, or the Anupahita Chaitanya, the unconditioned Akasha, is when you recognize that Akasha actually is not at all enclosed by the forest or by the tree, nor is the Akasha abiding there in the reflection of the water. It's not limited in any way by the Upadhi. So here he goes. Or the Akasha which is reflected in the water in the reservoir. So he's just putting it in English with leaving some things out. There is an unlimited consciousness that's the Anupahita Chaitanyam, and what he means is unconditioned by unlimited, a consciousness which isn't conditioned by these things, which is the substratum, adhara bhutam, of the aggregate and the individual ignorance, as well as the consciousness, Ishwara and Prajna, associated with. Now this one he did correctly. Okay. This is called the fourth Turiya.
Mm-hmm.
As in such Shruti passages as that which is tranquil, shantam, auspicious, shivam, and without a second, advaitam, that the wise conceive of as the fourth. Now he's using chaturtam as a synonym to Turiya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. He is the self, he is to be known.
So he's making an analogy between space and consciousness, that space is not limited by anything within it, nor is consciousness.
That's right. Like sometimes we can say like there's a pot space. There's no pot space, really. The space is really unconditioned by the pot. But from the standpoint of the pot, we can say it's pot space. We can say, oh, look at the sky and the... in the ocean. Look at the sky reflected in the ocean. But the sky hasn't entered into the ocean. Right? Nothing's happened to the sky. We see the reflection of the sky in the ocean or in the reservoir of water. We see it there, but nothing has happened to the sky or to the space to actually enter into it. And so it's an appearance. So the space is not in any way contained or conditioned by the Upadhi. In the same, even though the Upadhi, from the standpoint of the Upadhi, is enjoying the space, it's not away from the space, but the space is not in any way conditioned by the Upadhi or changed or touched by it. So similarly, the Chaitanya is not conditioned in any way by the Jiva Upadhi or the Ishwara Upadhi on any level, whether we're doing Virat and Vishwa, Hiranyagarbha and Tejasa, or Ishwara Prajna, those are all Upadhis, right? The Chaitanya is replete, is totally pervasive to the Upadhi, the Satyam Jnanam, Satyam Mitya, right? Totally pervasive to the Upadhi, but also totally free from it. The Upadhi is not away from the consciousness, but consciousness is free from the Upadhi. Right? And that's what we call Turiya.
Is this conditioned consciousness that's being referred to, is that like
Chirabhasa? instead of, when we use the word conditioned in the sense of upahika chaitanyam, it's being seen through the lens of the upadi. Like, for instance, this would be deha means body. Deha upahita chaitanya. The consciousness conditioned by the physical body. So if we say it a different way, the physical body, the deha, is an upadi for consciousness. It's a conditioning agent for the consciousness. So we're seeing consciousness through the lens of the physical body. Or if we say mano upahita, manas for the mind, mana upahita chaitanya, the consciousness conditioned by the mind, then the manas becomes an upadi for the consciousness. It means I can mistake, in the satyam nitya, I can mistake the mind to be consciousness. The satyam nitya is this: the mind is consciousness, but consciousness is free of the mind. That second half I don't know. If I don't understand the second half, then only consciousness is the mind. Right? In fact, the mind is consciousness. It's nothing else. Just like the pot is the clay. There's nothing else there. That's the truth of it. So the truth of the mind is consciousness, but consciousness is free of the mind. That's satyam nitya. So everybody has the first part, you know, that the mind is consciousness, the body, the mind is conscious, the body is conscious, the sense organs are conscious, I am the body, mind, sense organs. That's the ajnanam. The knowledge is understanding the satyam nitya. The mind is consciousness true, but consciousness is not the mind. The mind, the body is consciousness, but consciousness is not the body. That's the knowledge. When that knowledge is there, then these become upadis, conditioning agents. I understand them as upadis, whereas from the standpoint of ajnana, from ignorance, I am the upadi. This isn't an upadi. This is me. This body becomes the consciousness is the body, and the body is consciousness. Right? One and the same. Mm-hmm. This body is consciousness, and consciousness is this body. But the anvayavyatireka is this body is consciousness, but when the body is gone, consciousness is. The body is consciousness is, the body is gone, consciousness is. That's satyam nitya. There is no real relationship there. For the ajnani is the body is consciousness, and consciousness is the body. And the ajnani will think, the body is, consciousness is, when the body goes, because consciousness is the body. That is the mutual superimposition that we call anyonya adhyasa. Right? Then it's not acting as a upadi. For the jnani, this is a conditioning agent. We understand what that means. Is that clear?
I don't understand what it means exactly.
What?
I mean, conditioning agent is confusing to me. I mean, I know for an ajnani, it's like, okay, so you take the body, mind, sense organs to condition consciousness, which it doesn't.
Well,
or is that
a better way, conditioning agent, none of them are very good translation.
Uh-huh.
We use upadi like this to make it the most clear. Whatever allows me, whatever can assume the I, right? Whatever can assume the I. So if this physical, if I can say I am this physical body, then this is an upadi.
Yeah.
I am my sense organs, upadi.
Yeah.
I am my mind or emotions, upadi. So anything that can take on the self becomes an upadi. Anything that can erroneously take on the nature of the self is an upadi.
The locus for the mistake.
Yeah.
In other words.
That's right. The locus for the mistake.
Yeah. And we say Ishwara's upadi can do that too, because the mistake there is that all objects have a separate existence.
That's right. Like, what if I say the satyam, the sat, that this whole manifest creation enjoys, right, is has for its locus the actual nama rupas, the names and forms of this manifest creation. The creation is when the creation is there, it is. When the creation is gone, it is not. So the existence, the sat, right, which the creation enjoys, is dependent upon the existence of the creation, is one with the existence of the creation. So existence is seen to be one with the manifestation of the creation. Right? Sat is one with the manifest creation. When the manifest creation is gone, sat is gone.
But that's from the point of view of the jiva, not Ishvara. That's not.
There's no reality to it. That's ajnanam. Ajnanam, looking at the anyonya, the superimposition, from the standpoint of the creation, the sameshti upadhi.
Well, I don't know
what
that.
What did you think of
that? I thought it was the Ishvara upadhi. The reason what I had said before that the existence is divided up, like each object has its own existence. And that's therefore we make the separation.
But it's saying the same thing.
Yeah.
It's saying the same thing.
Okay.
Say if you decide that this is an object.
Yeah.
I could also decide that the whole creation is an object.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the isness is given to the object.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So it can be either in terms of individual objects or in terms of the whole.
Doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
Doesn't make any difference at all. In fact, there is no object.
I know.
In the end, the final analysis, you can't find an object because everything's infinitely divisible. So where is the object? That's why Swamiji doesn't even use object anymore. He only uses nama, name. He says namani, right? Namni, namani.
Right.
Names in the name. That's the reality. Every name is full of names. Any given name you take, it itself is full of names. Namani is a plural. Nam is a plural of naman. Namani. So namni is the locative singular. Namni, namani. Names in the name. That's all that we have here. Names in a name, names in a name, names in a name. Take any name. Any given name, and then that just becomes more full of more names.
And he also says a lot, name and meaning.
Yeah, and when we get into to meaning, we're getting into Brahman in the end.
Why is that?
When he says name and meaning?
Let's
see, I was using that. Because when he says meaning, he's referring to knowledge, right? I have to think about that.
I thought
I got
he was referring to, when he said meaning, he was referring to like a concept that we had about the name, like book, you know, we have a concept of what a book is, and that's the meaning. But in reality, all that's there is Brahman.
I know, but anyway, the meaning will resolve into Brahman in the end, right? Everything will resolve, but I think that's right. I've got to listen to how he does that.
Mm-hmm.
I got confused all of a sudden. I have to look at it and see. Yeah,
I've got a really simpleton penny question. This Turiya and Chaturtha?
Yeah.
Okay, but Turiya isn't, is the word Turiya here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Uchite Turiya. The word says Turiya.
Thank
that's
you.
Turiya.
Here, this verse. Oh, thank you very much. I was having trouble. Okay. And those are used as synonyms. Often are they used? They're often used. So they're interchangeable.
No, the name is really Turiya. But Turiya is defined as Chaturtham here. It's used in the fourth.
Okay.
But Turiya can also be used as a synonym for Brahman.
When we use Turiya, we're talking about Brahman, but we don't really use it as a synonym for Brahman. But when we're using it, because it's in the context,
okay.
It's referring to Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
And it's fourth in context to the first three, obviously. Yeah.
That's right.
So an upadhi doesn't condition our experience, right? I mean, I sort of got mixed up about that, too.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, as a jiva, my mind is limited, my sense organs are limited, so I have a limited, you know, it's limited what I can see, know, smell, taste. So in that sense, my experience is conditioned.
And limited. The experience is limited.
Right. My experience is limited, but then I thought I could say my experience is conditioned by my body, my sense organs, but maybe that's wrong.
No, wait.
Uh-huh. wrong use of the word.
No, condition. Yeah. The maybe the word use of the word condition is out of place there.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
your experience of your sense perception and your mind, the yeah. upadis are limited.
Yes. Yeah.
Any experience that's related to these upadis,
yeah.
to know or known, mm-hmm. right, is going to be limited.
Right.
Part to the whole. Right.
right?
Yeah. The self-evident nature of your self.
Yeah.
That's never limited yeah. at any time.
Yeah.
It appears limited when identified with your body.
Okay.
But your self-experience is I am a conscious being, this me. That is Brahman. It is whole and complete. It's not a partial experience. Even though the body, mind, sense organs, all of the upadis give our limited experience. The self is not a limited experience.
Right.
You don't have a partial self-experience.
Right.
The self-experience that you have is Brahman, whole and complete. There's not a big Brahman and a little Brahman. There's not a partial experience of Brahman. There's only the experience of Brahman, period.
Yeah.
Remember, Brahman is free of time and space.
I think I see where I made the mistake, because also sometimes we say the upadi, I think we say it's a counter of experience.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I got the word counter and you know, I kind of...
That's in Tathagata, mm-hmm. where you look at the physical body as the counter of experience.
Mm-hmm.
The sthula sharira is the counter of experience for mm-hmm. experiencing the world through your sense organs.
Mm-hmm.
So they use counter of experience.
Yeah.
Without the physical body, which is made of the same material as the world, of which it's a part, without this physical body, you don't have any means to experience the world, so it's a counter of experience.
I just got mixed up with that word.
Yeah.
Say that again.
The physical body, which includes your physical sense organs,
right,
is made of the was made of the same. It's in the same order of reality as this physical world.
Yeah.
So this is Vishwa. This is Virat.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. This is the sukshma, the sthula sharira, the earth plane. The earth loka, the bhuloka, this physical body is made of the very materials, of the same materials of this bhuloka, this earth plane. Okay? And so without this sthula sharira, we have no counter of experience for which the subtle body can use. And the subtle body includes the subtle sense organs, the subtle organs of action, the antakarana, you know.
But wait a minute, because we exist without a physical body. What about when we drop a physical body and you still have a subtle body?
When you drop this physical body,
yes,
you still have a subtle body, you'll still be transmigrating, but you won't be experiencing this physical loka.
Oh, yeah, I see.
So in order to experience this physical loka, loka means world, this physical world, you need a physical body. If you go to another, the Gandharva loka, you need a Gandharva body, a Gandharva deha, in order to experience. And that Gandharva body will be the same order of reality as the Gandharva world. So the sukshma sharira will always be taking a form that is made of the same material as the loka in which it is experiencing.
With the sukshma sharira, is able to function in any kind of bhuloka.
In any loka. It will always take a form true to that loka in order to experience the loka. If it doesn't have a form true to the loka, it can't experience the loka. It can't live in that loka. So the subtle body takes on a form where it can be a counter of experience for the loka.
So when we say limited, going back to the Dhanya's question, when we say limited experience as a jiva, it's limited experience of that loka that you're in, but my self-experience in any loka is complete.
The sukshma sharira is limited. There are many sukshma shariras within Ishwara, limitless sukshma shariras, limitless subtle bodies within Ishwara. Each one is limited.
Right.
Each one is only capable of having limited experiences.
But those limited experiences refer to limited experience of that, of Maya, limited experience of
within Maya.
Not limited experience of anything else but Maya, but myself is...
Yourself, which is Brahman,
right.
The truth of yourself, the Atma, which is Brahman, is not a partial experience. For Brahman yourself is free of time and space. So you are that. There's no bigger or smaller or there's no partial experience of me, of the conscious being. It is complete. That your self-experience is Brahman. Ishwara self-experience is your self-experience. It's not that Ishwara has a bigger self-experience than you do.
Right.
It's the self-experience is what we call self-evident, the aparoksha nature of the self. It's free of time and space. So when you're recognizing the me, your own being, you are recognizing in total Brahman, Ishwara self. It's not that Ishwara has an infinite upadhi. Right? Infinite upadhi, the whole maya, the sameshti maya upadhi. So Ishwara has a bigger experience in terms of maya. Limitless experience of maya, limitless knowledge. That's why we say, you know, sarvajñatvam and sarvavit, the one who is all knowledge. But if Ishwara self-experience is Brahman,
mm-hmm.
and your self-experience is Brahman, I am Brahman. The knowledge is I am Brahman, not I am a little piece of Brahman. I am Brahman. So Brahman is the self-experience is free of time and space. You can't be partial. So you are Ishwara. If Ishwara is to say I am, you know, and Ishwara, I think Jnani says I am, is referring to the aparoksha atma. That Ishwara is referring to exactly mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. He's referring to you, to who you are, not partially. Which is so beautiful because you're never away from Ishwara at all. Right? You are Ishwara.
But Ishwara never had that question, even though Ishwara is part of Maya.
Ishwara is not.
Who am I?
Ishwara is not part of Maya. Ishwara is the whole Maya. The whole Maya Upadhi, consciousness plus the whole Maya Upadhi is.
But on that total aspect, there is nothing, no, there is no ahankara, so there's no one asking, who am I?
That's right, but there's still the sense of self. Because the sense of self is aparoksha, but it's self-evident. So the same sense of self, you don't have to walk around either saying, I am, I am, I am, to have the me present.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need to be labeled at all. It doesn't require a ahankara for it to be. You don't have to walk around saying, I'm a conscious being, I'm a conscious being. You don't need that at all. You know?
So then through Maya, you know, all these jivas exist, and then the jivas are given an ignorant mind that says, who am I? And then they're told, well, the answer is just always been there with you, you know?
The answer is not always been there with you because the ignorance is beginningless.
Right,
the truth of it is
right,
there.
Right, the truth of it, not the answer, right.
Well, let's see, if you were to have a dream or the meadow imagination and people walking through the meadow, all those people, all those characters within the meadow are looking around, experiencing the meadow from within the meadow. They're made of Maya, and they're experiencing Maya from within Maya, through the Maya sense organs. Their Maya body, with the Maya mind, with the Maya sense organs, is experiencing the Maya world.
But then it's so tempting to ask, why create a problem that is then to be solved? You know, Maya is the whole problem. Why have it? And then I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say,
because that's the way it is.
No, I can say that. That's the way it is. But why would I say that's the way it is?
That's because causation exists. I don't know.
Because causation exists only within duality.
Right.
So there's no reason. It's not like
this is within causation, so there
I know.
Can ask a why within.
You can, but the why has that question has to be resolved. You know, the question is inappropriate if the question is going outside, is pointing outside of duality. If your question why is
resolved within duality.
If it can be resolved within duality, that's
right.
A valid question.
Right.
But if it's going to outside of duality,
uh-huh.
there is no why. Like, for if Brahman, there's no time or space, there's no past for Brahman. Brahman is. Right, so and is non-dual. So for Brahman, there's just Brahman is. There's no reason. What if you're going to say, well, why is Brahman?
Well, but we're not asking why it's Brahman. We're saying why this dual world. So that's the.
But no, I'm not finished. I'm not finished.
Sorry.
So, you say Brahman is free of time. So it has no path. It doesn't. Not, and it's free of part. It has no path. It can't change. Maya, right, has no beginning. Right, who created Maya? So if Maya has no creator, then Maya is what Maya is. Brahman didn't create Maya. Brahman can't create anything. So Maya itself has got to be beginningless. It's got no creator. Who's going to create it? Is Maya going to create itself? See, is material going to create itself? You say, no, Maya is beginningless. The creation is cyclical. So then it's fair if you say, well, Ishwara created Maya. But who is Ishwara? Ishwara is Brahman, so Brahman didn't create anything. And Maya is beginningless. Ishwara also is beginningless. Otherwise you have to say, who created Ishwara? Well, Ishwara's father created Ishwara. And who created Ishwara's father? Ishwara's grandfather. You know, there's nothing beyond Maya.
But then from Brahman, there really is no Ishwara, no cause, no effect. None of that, really, from Brahman.
From the standpoint of Brahman, because Brahman is timeless,
yeah.
Right, there's no change or modification in Brahman.
Yeah.
To acknowledge Ishwara, you're acknowledging the Maya Upadhi, which can't have any other locus except for Brahman.
Right.
Right? And so it's Brahman looked at through the lens of the Maya Upadhi that we have Ishwara. So Brahman is Ishwara. It's not that there's any Ishwara apart from Brahman. But Brahman doesn't go through any modification to become Ishwara.
But Ishwara has this sense of self, which Brahman doesn't have.
No, wait a minute. Brahman does too. The sense of self is Brahman. Brahman is consciousness. The sense of self is consciousness. It doesn't have a sense of self, it is the sense of self. The sense of me is the consciousness.
The isness.
The isness is consciousness. There is no isness apart from consciousness.
Okay, but you said Ishwara in terms of, you use the word sense of self with Ishwara, and that's what.
And I can use the sense of self. If I get rid of the whole creation, this is the way I'm using this word, sense of self.
Mm.
Get rid of the whole creation, get rid of the whole Maya Upadhi, there's only Brahman. That is the sense of self.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Isness.
Isness, okay. Which is consciousness.
Yes.
Don't make consciousness different than isness.
No, it's not.
Yes.
The sense of self, when you say that, I'm just going to go...
Okay. That's
all
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I say, why is Maya the way it is? Does that answer land outside of Maya?
Mm-hmm. Because there's no reason for Maya to be the way that it is, other than that is the way that it is, because Maya is beginningless. There's no creator of Maya. There's no one deciding, let's make Maya like this.
No, but the question is not who made Maya, but why is the nature of Maya the way it is? Why?
How to answer that?
I don't know. I'm saying.
You have to answer that. It's circular, because you have to, why is Maya the way it is? Well, because when we view the creation, this is what we find the creation to be. But that's answering why Maya is the way it is from the standpoint of the Maya that's already manifest.
Right.
So there's no way to say why is Maya the way it is from a standpoint prior to its manifestation.
Right. Without saying, well, who made it this way?
Yeah, or what was its
right.
cause?
Right.
But its
what
cause, it has no cause, it's beginningless.
Right.
It has no prior condition, there's no creator of it. There's no, because all time, space, and duality exist within Maya. There's nothing outside of it.
Yeah. I think the only reason it's tempting to ask is because really it just feels to me like it's creating a problem that is then solved. You know,
it's creating
some problem is being created, which is us with our minds.
But then you're saying, why does Ishwara do it like this? This is very Christian. Why did Ishwara do it like this? He could have done a better job so that we don't have to suffer, so there's have to be birth and death. We could make it so we just all continually enjoy Ananda. Why is there not?
Yeah.
Mind
to enjoy or not. It's
make it clear.
But you want it clear. If there's going to be a reason, though, that kind of reason has to exist within duality, where somebody is a creator.
Mm-hmm.
There is no creator. We call Ishwara a creator only in reference to the created. But there's no one. Ishwara is not apart from the created, you know, from the Maya that's responsible for this manifestation of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So Ishwara is Brahman, right? The self of Ishwara, just like if I say I am Brahman, that's who I am. Who is Ishwara? Ishwara is Brahman, right? Brahman plus this infinite manifestation of knowledge that we call Maya, that cannot be categorized in any way outside of Brahman, because Brahman is its truth. It doesn't have any independent reality at all, independent existence. It's not that there's Brahman and this Maya, as though Maya has its own or its own being. It has no independent being.
So why do we need Ishwara? Why do we need that kind of...
We don't need it. It's Ishwara is...
I mean, it's Maya.
It's conscious Brahman.
Yeah.
You're going to leave out what the truth is. Like, say if I have a meadow imagination. That's my imagination. You can't leave out the conscious being from the imagination. But if you just say, oh, there's only... the imagination, that's all there is. And all there is the imagination and the individuals within the imagination. In another way, I've said all there is, and you're talking as an individual within the meadow imagination. Now you're an individual within it, and you're saying, there's only the meadow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the meadow, and I'm of the same material as the meadow, and when I die, I die. Mm-hmm. That's a materialist, right? But if you're looking at it from Vedanta, you can't, if you can say that, then you're totally leaving out the set shit. The truth is that I am the meadow, and that I am Ishwara. Right? From the standpoint of the meadow, I am Ishwara. From the standpoint of myself, I'm free of the meadow. That's the Satyam Mitya. I am free of the meadow, and I'm also the meadow. From the standpoint of the meadow, I'm the meadow. Nobody else is the meadow. And that's why I'm Ishwara, because I'm the whole. But from the standpoint of myself, I'm totally free of the meadow. If the meadow's here and not here, it makes no difference at all to me. So Brahman is the meadow, and Brahman is free of the meadow. But the meadow's not free of Brahman. Without Brahman, there is no meadow at all, because you've ripped the being out of it. But because of Brahman, the meadow not only is, the meadow is known. It is known. That's the set chit. But you get rid of the meadow and the set chit is still there. It has no dependence on the meadow at all. So I am the meadow and I'm free of the meadow. But the meadow can't say, I am the meadow and I'm free of the set chit and I'm free of Brahman. Right? It has no independent reality at all. And so I have to walk around, as a jnani, I walk around seeing myself as the subject of the experience and free of the experience. You have to see both at the same time. I'm the subject, the existent conscious being that all namarupas are enjoying, and I am free of all the namarupas.
The one who has to see is the manas. The one who has to see is already conditioned. So how can that condition be experienced? Well, no, never mind.
Really? Are you going to give me a never mind? I mean, that's fantastic.
Because I know. Because when I asked,
you know my answer, or is my answer
no,
your answer
I,
too?
Oh, I know. I mean, I've seen my answer to your answer.
It's not fair to say, oh, I know what you're going to say. That's not right. You have to say, I see. I see it.
Oh no, when I say I know what you're going to say, it means I really don't understand. But when I say never mind, it means I do.
Oh, okay, that's what I want.
Right.
All right, let's stop and say our prayer. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.